Your software.
It is not my software. Zoom is working fine. Here we go. We're live. Now they can listen. Now our whoever is here can listen to us argue about computers.
There you go. So you think we're on, huh?
Yeah. Go to our channel. YouTube tells me we're live.
We're alive. Alive. Alive.
Well, I'm going to take your word for that because it's not showing up on my channel, but you're saying it's showing up on yours.
It shows up that we're live on mine.
Well, let's go then. Play the music.
Oh, okay. Hang on.
It's what all the people are paying for.
Again, there's just music. There's no vocals on this yet.
Gotcha. Welcome to the 7th live edition of Bombs and Bands and Wednesday Rants. As always, I'm your dedicated and humble host, John Wilder, coming to you from an undisclosed location hidden deep beneath the surface of the earth. With me, as always, is Mark.
Howdy.
And the missus.
Let me make sure my mic's unmuted.
Yeah, no, it is. I can hear you. Excellent. And you're telling me we're streaming here.
As far as I know.
Okay. Well, this is probably a good time to mention that you had been wanting to increase. Yep. I'm showing us being live. Excellent. You had wanted us to actually increase the amount of content that we're putting out, but we haven't been able to do that. And the big reason we haven't been able to do that is you've been having technical issues.
Yes.
Including having destroyed, wiped all of the content that we had saved, right?
Yeah, it's just gone. I don't have any of it. I don't even have any of our finished podcasts left.
It's lost.
It is a vast wasteland, yeah.
And the problem is that, you know, I see our logo that's up there, and it's a very decent-looking logo, but my eyes are all wrong, and we'll see why that's a problem. Or maybe why it isn't a problem.
You look less sleepy now.
I know, but I am sleepy. That's the kind of sleep that it's just kind of tired. The sleep just won't make go away. But anyway, so last week, I'm going to recap and bring everyone back to where we are today. Last week, we had kind of talked about that we had been getting very gloomy. And for a podcast that has a nuclear explosion as part of its logo, I mean, okay, you're going to expect some gloom from time to time. And so we thought we'd do a lighthearted episode this week. And the lighthearted episode, of course, would involve horror movies because we have a nuclear weapon in our logo. So what better way to do it than that? So, and here's where I think it's going to fall apart because I know us and it always falls apart this way. I bet we all went and did our own thing, and so we have really three podcasts that were kind of mashed together. So what I did is I picked, because horror movies in and of themselves are wonderful, I picked four I liked and I thought I would talk about those. And the reason I picked four is because I've got something old, something new, something borrowed, and something blue. I feel like a blushing little bride. So,
and you look so nice in the veil and dress. It's a good look for you.
That's what they make us wear at the ceremonies at midnight. So Mark, what did you do?
I thought of the top. Well, I'm more of a science fiction guy, so I'm probably most of my the couple movies that I want to talk about are going to be science fiction horror.
As are all of mine, actually. All of mine. Okay. Yep.
Well, maybe we'll have some repeats. And then there's this one movie that I saw that was just really atrocious when I was young, but I don't know. It was just funny. And I'll just talk about it because it's sort of a stereotypical slasher flick. But okay. It was so dumb. It was funny.
All right. And the Mrs. I feel like that show, the cooking show. And what did you do? Let's see what you did.
Well, I'm kind of the odd man out. I don't have any sci-fi on my list. Because, okay, you know what I like. And the things that are in my wheelhouse are slasher films and movies about the devil. And haunted house films, too. I like those, but I don't have any on my list.
So a slasher devil in a haunted house is kind of your... It's the holy grail of movies for you.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Okay.
And well, one that I want to talk about is not a very well-known one. And in fact, I just saw it a couple of years ago, like on Netflix or something. It popped up in my queue. And it kind of got overshadowed by some other films, but we'll talk about it.
Okay. So how many did you bring the missus?
Me? I have several.
But several is that's what a liberal arts
major... I'm flexible. Well, I am a liberal arts major, so there you go.
Yeah. So do you have three or four?
Sure.
Okay. Mark, how many did you bring?
Oh, I was thinking of... I had three, but I can do four.
Okay, so let's do four each, and that makes it balanced. I'm the only one who's cool enough to think of a theme with mine. But let's see what you did. What's your first up?
You always make me go first, and I'm just all over the place here. Let me see what I have pulled up. Oh, okay. Well, when it comes to slasher films, my all-time favorite of the slasher films is John Carpenter. Classic Halloween, the first one, right? I don't have any video pulled up on that because I didn't quite get there.
Hang on. All right. Who else has John Carpenter on their list? Raise your hand. Oh, wait. We don't have video.
It's an audio.
Mark.
Yeah, I've got John Carpenter on my list as
okay,
well.
Okay, so John Carpenter, ding, give us ding.
Oh, wait, hang on.
That's you.
I know it is. I got to find it. I was looking for video clips.
Come on, Teen Girl Squad. There we go. John Carpenter, 3 out of 3 lists. All right. Carry on, the missus.
Oh, I was searching for stuff. See? Doing like 15 different things here at one time. No, but okay. So I don't have any clips from Halloween pulled up because I didn't quite get there as I was getting ready to do this. Because I was, what would you say, like 10 minutes late getting here? I was rather lackadaisical in showing up on time tonight. But I did find this, and I think I might love this. Speaking of slasher films, I have a very soft spot in my heart for the Friday the 13th series. The series of films, that is.
Okay, that's not John Carpenter.
It's not. That's what I said. I don't have any John Carpenter clips because I didn't get there. Did you miss that?
Yes. Okay.
Okay. So, clearly you did.
But you said you were going to talk about John Carpenter.
And well, other than the fact so you can see my screen and you see that I have here on this blank tab the word Halloween tapped in the search bar.
Okay.
And I haven't quite gotten there yet. Yeah.
Oh, wait. No. Okay. We'll carry on.
Well, it's hard for me to carry on because I haven't, you know. Ooh, look, it's the 1978 trailer. This will be exciting. Maybe.
In a world.
Halloween night. A small American town. 15 years ago.
That's just classic, right?
It is. And I need to share something with the world.
Mm-hmm.
When you come to our house, we bought a little skeleton and it's been hanging on our front porch for, you know, it's about, again, what about a 16 inch tall skeleton? Does that sound about right?
Yes, it replaced the full size skeleton that was there.
Yeah. But it's been hanging on our porch for 3 years now.
Yeah.
And so people come by, I love your Halloween decorations. And we just go,
what Halloween decorations? What are you talking about? Yeah.
All right. Carry back on.
Well, I was going to say, you know, Michael Myers. Michael Myers from Halloween was in the news this week. Did you hear about this story?
I did. Let's just say no for a better podcast, right?
Yeah, exactly.
No, why don't you tell
exactly.
me about it?
Okay. Well, okay, this was on the beach in Galveston in Texas, right? Where they're being thumped again by yet another hurricane. So there was a guy down there who thought it would be funny to take his plastic bloody knife and dress like Michael Myers and walk up and down the beach on Galveston as the storm came in. And he was pretty much by himself down there, right? And he said the beach patrol went by him several times with the Halloween movie music playing that we just heard. So when the cops showed up, he thought they were in on the joke until they pulled guns on him. So he did get arrested for, I think it was misdemeanor disturbing the peace or something like that. But here's the funny thing about this is, would you like to take a guess as to what he does for a living?
Makes knitting needles.
No, he's a lawyer. Oh. So he's ready for that. Yeah. Yeah. So that was the fun in Houston this week.
We'll start discovery next week.
Exactly. Okay, but back to Halloween. I mean,
not that you're distractible by shiny objects.
What was that?
Not that you're distractible by shiny objects, right?
Exactly. It's been that kind of week. I've had too much sleep this week. That's my problem. But so that's Halloween, and that always leads me to Friday the 13th. Again, I just love Friday the 13th. Because if you're a fan of that series, the thing you like most is the endless inventive creative ways in which Jason kills his victims, right? And my favorite, and many people's favorite, is the sleeping bag kill, right? So I'm looking this up video-wise before we started the podcast, and I found, I kid you not, it is an hour's worth of just Jason banging someone in a sleeping bag against a tree, and here's the audio for you. An hour of that.
You are so mixing your movie metaphors. Okay. So why do you like Halloween? Going back to not Friday the 13th, Halloween. Why do you like Halloween?
You know, I think Halloween was one of the first slasher movies that I saw on network TV. And what was wrong with my parents? They let me watch a lot of things on network TV at a very young age that I should not have been exposed to. Halloween on network TV being one of them. And secondly, what were people thinking showing Halloween on network TV? It was the 80s. It was a different time, right?
And it had PJ Souls in it. She was, you know, that's TV.
I know, right? You and your huge crush on PJ Souls.
Oh, that girl really did like a good pancake flipper. Anyway.
Now who's mixing movie genres?
Well, yeah. So, someone out there will get that. Did you have anything more you want to say about Halloween?
You know, other than the fact that my great love for Halloween, it helped me get my master's degree, because that's what I wrote my master's thesis over.
Oh, and Arthur's on, and he said, he asked the question, is Edward Scissorhands considered a slasher movie?
I think only after you have had 4 or 5 drinks, then it could be.
And I was going to say, only if you're a barber.
I've never actually seen Edward Scissorhands. You know, Tim Burton, he shoots it, and people are going to get pissed off about this because there are big, huge Tim Burton fans out there.
He makes a very beautiful movie.
Oh, I know. They are just lovely. They're beautiful to look at, but he tells a crap story. I just can't get into his stories. I really can't.
All right. Well, since you are as focused as a flock of ants, Mark, what did you do? What did you bring us?
Well, I'm going to have to go back. One of the criteria I used for the good horror movies is if they actually scared me. And I'll be honest, I am not a big fan of horror movies, so I don't watch them very often, not since I was basically a teenager, really. But looking back, I have to say that I think my favorite was John Carpenter's The Thing.
Oh, that's also on my list. Go for it. Carry on.
Oh, it's just sort of a It for me, it had it all. I mean, it's got aliens. It's got a group of people trapped.
It's aliens.
It's got people trapped in an Antarctic outpost where they, you know, they're literally cut off, no communications, no nothing. And you've got this alien that can take on the appearance of anyone there, and they've got to figure out, you know, who's who and, you know, who's and who isn't. But it's just very well done. The pacing of it, the atmosphere of it is very good. I like the fact that, unlike a lot of the movies of that era, I mean, he immediately dragged you into the story, because it starts off with this, the helicopter approaching the base, and they're trying to shoot this dog, and you're and they're throwing out thermite charges and everything to kill a husky.
Which leads to one of my favorite lines from the movie. Maybe we will with Norway.
That is an oft-quoted line around our house.
Yes, it is. You know, and I'm going to come back to this movie. I know way too much about. This was a something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue. This was something borrowed. It was a remake. It was a remake of a 1950 movie that was just awful. And the only thing I think that was good about it is it featured James Arness as the monster. But going back just a step further, its original origin, it was written based on a short story called Who Goes There by John W. Campbell. And when I had first seen this, I had just read, you know, not 2 weeks earlier, the story Who Goes There by John W. Campbell. And I thought, what a great, I wish they would have made that movie. And then I found this movie. And as a kid, how wonderful is that to find something you just read? I mean, it even has the character MacReady. Now, the MacReady in the movie didn't, you know, pour scotch, J&B scotch, into a chess computer and call it a cheater. But it's such a fantastic movie. It was gloomy, and it had one of the best characteristics of a scary movie, in that something wasn't what it seemed to be, and people were being taken over by an outside force that made them act differently. I mean, zombies use this thing, as well as one of my other movies that I have on the list. So I couldn't agree more. And in fact, John Carpenter has three movies that he considers his apocalyptic trio. And it's this one. It includes The Prince of Darkness, and it includes In the Mouth of Madness, which are both, all three of those are just excellent movies. So
Prince of Darkness is on my list too.
See? I suppose I should have picked In the Mouth of Madness then.
Well, and you know, in the ending was superb, and I'm sorry if people haven't seen this movie, but it ends up with the main character, the hero. He's the only survivor after this base blows up, and then this other guy comes out of the snow, who had been lost in the wind, lost in a windstorm supposedly, and so you're left there at the end of the movie with, is that other guy human or isn't he? And there's a lot of debate still online about that, and trying to figure out whether he's the someone that was taken over by the thing or not. Part of what I guess that they did with when they produced the movie was they've got the hero there, plenty of breath, you know, steam from his breath and stuff visible, but the other guy, nothing. So it sort of leaves you with, I think, you know, where it's going. But then there's other issues, you know, like they'd made Molotov cocktails and stuff, and you know, the beer that he offers to the guy that came out of the snowstorm, you know, was that really beer, or was it gasoline? You know, lots of cool stuff. Whiskey. I'm sorry. Yep. But anyway,
you get a pass on that one.
It's been a while since I saw it, but anyway, yeah. I mean, it's a really, it's, it's an intriguing ending, and there's a lot of depth in a lot of the different scenes. So,
and it was really well done. And the other thing, the thing that sets this movie apart when you look at a visual compilation is everything just about was done with practical effects. I mean, there was some cheesy animation here or there, but everything else is a practical effect. I mean, the spider head creature was a walking creature that they had to create to work. I mean, again, fantastically done movie. I couldn't agree more. I guess that, well, the missus, did you have any thoughts on this movie?
On the thing?
Yeah.
Other than I liked it, I thought it was a really good movie. And, you know, the fact that they're all trapped, it's very cold outside. And they did, by the way, make a really cool video game from that movie, too. Do you remember that one?
Oh, yes. All right. So my first movie, I'm going with something old. And it shares many of the same characteristics of The Thing. Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And this is the original one. I always enjoyed that movie. Again, it had the elements of some wonderful classic themes. Science fiction, aliens coming down from the sky, and black and white, 1956. And you know, you look at Kevin McCarthy; he chews up the screen in that. Dana Winter, again, fantastic. And it had a brooding, apocalyptic feel to it as well. So, I don't know. Have both of you seen that one?
Oh yeah, I enjoy that one.
Maybe.
Oh,
I watched a lot of really old movies when I was a kid. Well, I just don't remember if that was it or not.
You know, I don't know. I mean, in some ways, it was. One of the things I sort of liked about that movie, one is it was better done than most other sci-fi horror movies of that time period.
Yeah, absolutely. But,
I mean, the acting and everything was a lot better. But the other thing, you know, and it's probably, you know, the same for all those movies, but, you know, compared to some of the ambiguous endings that you see in other horror movies, I mean, that one had a definitive ending, really, at least as I remember it, of, you know, we're finally getting a handle on this thing.
No,
you don't think so? I thought they were.
No, the ending is he shows up in the San Francisco Police Department, and there, you know, his story is confirmed, mind you, but the pods are spreading.
Okay. Well, I was left to the impression that they, you know, the authorities were alerted, and it was, you know, it was just sort of the beginning of the end for the pods. But
yeah. In fact, in the 1970s version,
That one,
Kevin McCarthy shows up again in that at the very beginning saying they're here. And so he shows up in that movie as well, but he has a great cameo in it.
Oh, I didn't realize that he had a cameo in the 80s.
The first few minutes.
Okay.
So that's mine, something old, and the missus, who doesn't remember the things she watches, may or may not have seen it. So
I was little.
All right, well, we'll rotate back to you.
Oh, is it back to me now? Okay. Yeah. All right, well, let's talk about the devil movies then, because those are my next favorite.
Okay.
And as you know, The Exorcist is really the top of my list.
Wait, hang on just a second. What? And Sunday, the missus takes on the demon from down under. Okay, all right, you can.
So it's The Exorcist, right? That goes at the top of everyone's devil list. The Omen probably in there too. But then Prince of Darkness, obligatory John Carpenter. But then there's this one. And actually, I didn't even know this until I was looking up information about this for the podcast here. But this actually, it's a movie called Devil. And it is actually an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yes, we watched that together.
Yes, I know. I was explaining for the people who don't live in our house, who might be listening.
You mean there are people outside of this small universe?
And another thing I like about this particular movie is that it's like it's a bottle episode movie, right? It's I think five people trapped in an elevator in Philadelphia. And mm-hmm. then there's the devil who's in there with them. And so the lights keep going off and lights come back on and someone's dead. And they're mm-hmm. in an elevator, which is really what I like about it. Because they're, you know, they're trapped. They're in the small enclosed space. They're strangers. And there's the devil. I have a little bit of the trailer here for you.
Hey, the phone just rang. Oh.
Hey, lady, you gotta sign in.
Do I look like such a threat?
Don't blame me. You got procedures.
Not a lot of dialogue in this trailer.
You hold that?
Yeah, this is fantastic.
It is, I know. It's such great.
Thanks for your help.
It's great radio.
This is great, great podcast here.
It feels like something bit me.
Does anybody have anything sharp on them that might have cut her?
No.
You mind if we search your pockets?
Yes, I do mind. You mind if we search yours?
What was that?
Something's jamming it.
It's stuck.
Come near me, any of you.
Back away from each other now!
Ah. Okay, I'm gonna have to stop.
Yes, so it's another just... things don't appear what they... Things aren't what they appear to be.
Yes. And again, that's M. Night Shyamalan with... in my mind, he's realized that his one-trick pony of surprise... is only going to work go so far. And he produces a pretty decent movie with that.
It was. It was a really good movie. I was surprised. And it's PG-13 too, so it's not an R-rated movie. It's difficult to find PG-13 horror movies that are good and that are scary. And this actually was kind of scary.
And it allows me to use one of my favorite lines. Mm-hmm. It's the phone. It's for you. I think it's the devil.
That would be have you seen that one, boy.
Yes. Have you seen that one, Mark?
No, I haven't.
Okay. So again, in my Shyamalan, I still want to choke him out for The Village. That was just awful.
Of liked The Village. It was okay.
You know, I kind of liked it too.
Philistines, surrounded by Philistines.
No, but it was a movie about the morality of what their parents did, right? They thought they were saving their children from the evils of the world, but were they really by sheltering them that way? And I think that's a valid question to ask.
And they never noticed the beautiful steel birds in the sky. All right, Mark, what do you have up?
Well, okay, this is probably going to sound sort of terrible coming in here, but my other one I was going to pick was The Body Snatchers, the 1980s version.
Great.
Now I've got to tell you, I only saw it once. This is back when I was a teenager. We went actually to a drive-in to see it, but I have to say the ending of it just freaked me out. Because, you know, I just was like, oh yeah, he had to survive, you know, not get affected. Then when he opens his mouth and that screech comes out. Anyway, sorry, I know I just ruined the movie for everyone. But
yep. No, it was a good movie as well. And it ties very directly into the same theme. Now I had to. For mine, something old, something new, I had to find something new. And, you know, the movies that I've seen recently have just not been that scary. Some of them have been so bad that I just go, oh, I hate it. But one that turned out, the most recent good horror movie that I've seen was A Quiet Place. And A Quiet Place is a 2018 film stars and was directed by John Krasinski. And he's Jim from The Office, who does surprisingly well in a horror movie. And so I thought that was a pretty good one. Now, The Missus, have you seen that one?
Yes, I watched it with you.
Well, I thought you had.
I just didn't like it, so I don't share your love for this movie. I really did not like that movie.
Oh, why did you dislike
it? I thought it was predictable and boring. Sorry.
Well, and that's part of the problem is that, you know, how does one produce a movie, you know, in 2018 for, if that, because that's when that came out, for jaded old consumers like us who've seen all of these great classic movies.
And if you aren't a horror movie fan, then that, you know, it's a fine movie. It's not I just didn't like it. It's not a terrible movie.
Well, see, here's what I think. I think horror movie fans like horror movies. And, well, that's by definition, right? That's the tautology club. But what I'm trying to say is people who don't like horror movies, they still don't like horror movies. I look at great horror movies I see online and they're rated, you know, 3 or 5 stars. Always. And anytime I see a horror movie and it's rated 5 stars, I know it's going to be garbage because people who don't like horror movies love it. And I go, okay, you guys.
What was that the name of that horrible horror movie that we went and we saw in the theater? It was not in this town, but the one over that has no restaurants currently.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was about the guy who was blind and the kids
it
came
wasn't
in.
That one. It was the one.
Oh, it was the one where Satan couldn't see in the light or something. It was,
yeah.
It doesn't matter. It was just so bad.
It was terrible. And it was. It got rave reviews and people loved it. And other people in the theater were like screaming at the scary, supposedly scary parts. And I was like, are we watching the same movie?
You know nothing, Jon Snow.
I know.
Yes. And again, that movie is so bad. I've tried to. Oh, that was awful. Awful, awful.
Yes, and the one with, right. with the blind guy, where the kids break into his house to steal his stuff. I didn't really understand who I was supposed to be rooting for in that movie because I was totally
rooting for the blind guy.
Yes, me too.
Yeah, and you know you're in a bad shape when you're hoping. You know, I really hope that they put the guy in a blender.
Yeah,
they put these kids in a blender. That's good for what they're doing.
And you know, there's a sequel to that too, right? There's a 2 in that series.
No, nope.
Yeah, I can't remember what the actual name of it is. I know that we just jokingly call it "Shut the Beep Up."
Yeah.
I don't know what the actual name of the movie is.
Okay, so we've gone. That's our second go around. And the missus, why don't you head into your next movie that you like?
Ooh, my next movie that I like. Well. See, computer problems again. I can't get my notes to pull up.
Well, you're looking for your notes?
Oh, here we go.
Say.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. Oh, I know the one I wanted to talk about. Speaking of PG-13 horror movies that are actually pretty good.
Not everything you wanted to know about sex, but were afraid to ask David Cronenberg.
That's a totally different thing.
Yeah,
nobody's brought up any David Cronenberg movies. But no, the one I was thinking about was a movie called The Others. And you probably have never heard of this movie. It came out not too long after, speaking of M. Night Shyamalan, after The Sixth Sense. And it was very similar in plot. The plot of the movie is that you have a woman who lives in this, it's set in the Second World War in England. And she lives in this very old, creepy house with her 2 children who are sensitive to sunlight. And so they can't be in sunlight. And she becomes convinced that the house is haunted. And it's kind of her exploring the house being haunted. So it stars Nicole Kidman. Also, Christopher Eccleston from Doctor Who is in this movie. And it was a pretty good movie. But again, it didn't get a lot of play because it came out very soon after The Sixth Sense. And it does have a good twist at the end of it.
Well,
I won't blow the ending for you.
I watched this movie probably every time you made me watch it. And it was okay.
It's a good movie. It's a slow burn. It's a slow burn. It's very much a psychological horror.
Yeah, and whenever I try and show you a slow burn psychological horror, you go, they're not doing anything. Thing. This is so
when
boring.
Name the last time that happened. When the name the last time that happened.
Oh, you,
because it's always a freaking zombie movie with you. That's the problem.
Oh, I like zombies. Okay.
I know. I've seen every zombie movie ever made because of you.
The Others is okay. I'll skip the zombies. Mark,
please,
what you got?
Please skip the zombies.
All right. So, I when the zombie craze first started getting really popular about, I don't know what it was, 10 years ago or so, I watched a few of them. I really liked, I think it's 28 Days. Is that right?
28 Days Later.
Later, yeah. In one set in England. And then I saw Zombieland, and to me that is the ideal zombie movie because it's freaking, it's hilarious. I love the rules that the main character puts up. Woody Harrelson's role, he did an excellent job in that, and how they turned the loss of his dog into the loss of his son was added a certain sense of poignancy to the whole movie. But it was fun and great special effects and all that. So I'll put that out, my comedy horror pick.
The only thing I have to say about that movie is Bill Murray.
All right, do you have any regrets? Garfield too.
I'm probably the only one on here that's seen the Zombieland 2, the sequel, and it actually opens with Garfield 2. That brings it to me. I had something old, something new, something borrowed, and we've already talked about that with the thing, so we're going to whip it right back around to the missus.
Oh, back to me, huh? Other good horror movies. You know, I've been on an indie kick of horror movies lately. Do you want to talk about indie horror movies, or would you rather talk about comedy horror movies? I can go either way.
You get to pick.
I know, but I can go either way.
Go with comedy.
Okay, comedy horror movies. Well, of course, American Werewolf in London, right? The progenitor of this this particular genre. But a good second place for that, a first runner up, got to be Tucker and Dale versus Evil.
That's a great movie.
It is. Mm-hmm.
have you seen that one, Mark?
Oh, I don't believe I've seen that one.
Okay. So imagine, if you will, a world where you watch the horror movie /horror movie from the standpoint of Michael Myers. And Michael's an okay guy. He's just badly misunderstood.
And he doesn't realize that the teenagers think he's a psycho killer.
Yes.
It's two guys, and one of them is the guy who played Wash on Firefly. What's his name?
Oh, yeah.
Alan Tudyk. Now,
but... Yes, Alan Tudyk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tudyk.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's just him and his buddy in their flannel shirts out in the cabin trying to do some work on the cabin. And these teenagers are nearby who become convinced that these guys are serial killers, like they're in a slasher film, and they keep accidentally killing themselves. Like one is one is running away from them and trips and falls into a wood chipper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And one is running through the forest and trips and, you know, falls and impales himself on a tree branch. And so from their standpoint, these kids are just sitting there killing themselves in front of them.
And they're just horrified by this. Why do they keep doing this? Oh my God. Yeah.
it's worth a watch. Oh,
and then I had another one too, and this is one that I just saw recently. It's
you have to wait to
it's very brief because I actually haven't seen the whole thing because I started watching it twice now and I fell asleep. It's like Logan's Run.
That's a great
it's a good premise. It's called Werewolves Within, and I think it's on Netflix, and it stars the guy, he's the black guy who was the assistant on the last season of Veep, and I can't remember his name, but he's the little jittery, nerdy guy, and he's the lead in this, and he is just, he's awesome, he's very funny. It's just his man, it's essentially the same character that he was playing on Veep, but he's a forest ranger now. It's pretty good, it's pretty funny, it has its moments. Okay.
Okay.
Are you happy now?
Mark.
All right. So this one, I'm not putting it in because it's my favorite. I'm putting it in because it was such a bad movie, and not not bad in the sense of like the really cheesy 1950s horror movies that you might see, but this was I assume it was produced in the early 80s. It was sort of a ripoff of Friday the 13th, but it was called Humongous. And the setup for this is there's this big lake and there's an island in there with a fairly large cabin that this old woman used to live in. And she, of course, had this hideously deformed, super strong, psychotic son or something that she locked up in the basement, but nobody knew about it, about the son. And anyway, she dies. There's these kids that are out. They want to go camping. You know, of course, you know, you're a group of teenagers. And they're like, well, why don't we go to this island? Because, you know, this lady died and there's no one there and stuff. So they show up. And, of course, he starts just killing them off one by one through the movie. But, I mean, to me, the worst part is, okay, and you have to imagine this, that, you know, I'm like 12 or 13 years old. And after watching him kill the first one or two people, I'm just like, you know, this creature's an idiot. He just rushes at them. Why don't you just put a sharpened stick into the ground and have it pointed at him and let him run onto it? And sure enough, at the very end of the movie, that's how he's killed. So, you know, but it was so formulaic and everything corny that some of the special effects were pretty bad. Like this girl gets her head crushed and her eyeballs pop out, but it was just, you know, it was more funny than anything else. But anyway, so, you know, so your standard, you know, teenager slasher flick type of thing. So it was, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there's some people that probably watched it and liked it or whatever. I mean, if you're 12 or 13 year old watching a movie, you can, you know, you have a better idea how to kill this creature than anybody on the film. I mean, it ruins the suspense of it. I mean, essentially you're watching it, just out of frustration. Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? But anyway,
should I take this M16A1 carbine or this flashlight? Ding, flashlight. All right. Oh, nope, I'm with you. All right. And time for me to bring up the last movie of the evening. And this is actually the movie that started the entire conversation that led to this particular episode. And it is, of course, Event Horizon. That's something blue. And not that the Event Horizon is blue, but every light in this movie, I think, was blue. The movie is a very blue movie, but where we're going, Demetrius.
Oh, sorry. I was looking at something else. Let me see. Where's
that? Yeah. Okay. You were so bored.
Here it is.
You were talking words.
No,
always explaining.
Because we were talking about really bad horror movies, and there was a thing. Anyway, here it is.
To your eyes. Where am I going? We won't need eyes to see. What are you talking about?
There you go.
Okay, so the first time I ever saw the evil Sam Neill, he was in he was playing Damien Thorne, all grown up in the third Omen movie, and it just he kept being evil from there on. So he's known in our house as the evil Sam Neill,
just sitting around fantastic, being evil,
just sitting around being evil. He is a fantastic actor, and we saw the name Event Horizon and we went to go see the movie. Really didn't even know what it was about. So, okay.
We thought it was going to be a sci-fi movie because we went with some friends. Yeah.
You know, and then came back and we're going, I think I need to go see a priest. And it turns out to be, it was a surprise. It didn't do particularly well at the box office. In fact, it did so poorly at the box office that really they didn't, it didn't start to get a really cult following until many years later. But now it has such a large cult following that they're actually going to be doing a series based on Event Horizon for Amazon. which we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
But I don't think
perfection. You know?
Yeah, I don't think you'll catch the magic in the bottle again. But when they first showed it, it was a 2.5 hour movie. And the movie really got away from the executives because they had an A crew and a B crew. Now, the A crew was all the actors doing all the actory things, right? The B crew was shooting all of the horrible stuff. So the executives, you know, because the B crew shot on weekends, A crew shot on Monday through Friday. So all the executives from the movie studio kept going down and saying, oh, looks pretty good. Yep, this will sure catch those Star Wars kids. And then the B crew is just shooting this orgy of blood and horribleness. And then so finally the executives saw the movie and they just like, what is this that we bought? Is this horrible thing that we bought? And so the original cut was 2.5 hours, and they made him cut apparently the most grisly parts of this movie out.
And what they left in was still pretty grisly.
Oh my gosh! Yes, in fact,
the scene where the woman is chasing the little boy,
mm-hmm.
and she falls. Yeah,
yeah,
that was brutal.
Yep, Kathleen Quinlan. Mm-hmm. Yep, great actors throughout. You know, Lawrence Fishburne. Being at his Lawrence Fishburne-y best before he discovered carbohydrates. Well, let's just say he's twice the man he was then. Of course, Sam Neill sitting around being evil. Just a great cast all the way around. Very enjoyable. And it is probably, again, very Lovecraftian. And strongly... If you like horror movies, this is probably towards the apex of it. If you're just an average horror movie person, just stay away. Just absolutely stay away. This is not your cup of tea. This movie was not made for you.
It's a great sci-fi horror movie. I mean, it's up there with Aliens too.
Yes.
Which is the best of the Alien series.
Yes. But here there's something, I mean, truly evil. And that's one of the things. I mean, this isn't an alien we're talking about. This is just evil that has leaked through from another universe. So,
well, it's funny because after you told me about it, I'd never seen it before. So I actually watched it last week. And I will, just for the viewers out there that haven't seen it, but maybe have seen some other popular horror movies, my impression was from the movie watching it was that it was a sci-fi version of Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yes. Except plus The Exorcist. You got to throw The Exorcist on that because it's in Sam Neill.
But I mean, the overall feel of it made me really think, just all the way through it, I was like, have I seen this before? Maybe, but you know, I realized that it was, I don't know. I know the stories and everything are completely different, but the atmosphere, I guess, really reminded me of Nightmare on Elm Street and some of the, you know, the way these people were being fooled by illusions and so forth.
It's a very dark movie too. And I don't mean theme wise. I mean, there's not a lot of light in the movie. And it feels like a haunted house
is
movie.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So Mark, since you're the most recent to see it, and you've had much more movie under your belt and life under your belt when you saw it, what'd you think of it?
I thought it was pretty good. I wouldn't put it up as high as Aliens. At least not the expanded cut or director's cut or whatever they're calling it. But it's a good movie. Now I will say though, if you're into hard sci-fi, you'll probably get ticked off at the, you know, they try their best at the zero G stuff, but I don't think they quite make it, but you know, overall I thought it was pretty good. And like I said, it reminded me of of Nightmare on Elm Street, which of course is a classic. You know, now I, unlike you, I haven't seen Sam Neill in a lot of films where he's been evil. So that was a little bit of a shock to me.
Again, I liked the third Omen film. In fact, of the three Omen films, it's my favorite. That's the one that really talks about Revelation. So, I mean, it's reenacting Revelation. So,
okay, and I haven't seen any of those. So,
what's that movie that Sam Neill was in where it was him and Nicole Kidman and they were on the boat, and Billy Zane takes the boat.
You know the one I'm talking about, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, here I'm on IMDb. Let me just click on his name. And it should come up.
Do you realize there's a Dr. Neil Zane? And he's in New York, New York. So, Dr. Neil Zane, if you're watching us, he's
Dead Calm.
Yes,
Dead Calm.
Mm-hmm. Which is in itself a good thriller. But
it's kind of a horror movie too, though, right? But there's just no supernatural elements to that.
Yeah. So again, if Dr. Neil Zane DDS is listening to us.
And this brings us full circle too, because it's Sam Neill and Nicole Kidman.
Yes.
In the same movie. It's my thesis.
I don't think that Dr. Neil Zane's middle name is Kidman, though. Then he would be.
That would be too weird.
It would definitely be a dentist to avoid.
Especially if it's really dark in the dentist's office, lightning flashing in the background. I don't think I want to get my cavity filled here. Where we're going, you won't need fillings.
When you're talking about horror movies, don't talk about filling cavities, okay?
I know what you're talking about.
Now we're into body cavities, okay. All right. Well, I have
just
to
one
say,
question. Just yes. A question for you. Is it safe?
Is it safe?
Marathon Man.
Lawrence Sorry, Olivia. The cavities. The cavities put me over into that.
Oh. Well, I think on that note, since we've been going for 53 minutes now, it's probably time to head on back and let our folks continue back with their lives. And once again, we'll be back next week with Bombs and Bands. I'm John.
I'm Mark.
And I'm the Mrs.